أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وأقم الصلاة لذكري صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله By the infinite grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been blessed yet again in our lifetime, a noble and sacred month of Ramadan in which we can gain proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can gain many barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ultimately find the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His ibadah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to maximize the days and nights, our siyam, our qiyam, our ruku' and sujood, and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His beautiful kalam, with the Qur'an, with His messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and also with all of us who in our communities. Inshallah al-Aziz, every day after Salatul Asr, we will have a dars, a short lesson on Salah. And Salah is a very, very important topic that we all do in some way or form, but we tend to overlook its importance, its depth, its majesty and its beauty, and ultimately its necessity that will enable us to have more meaningful life, a more purposeful life, and for us to actually get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the outset, today will be an introduction, inshallah, to the subject itself, and then tomorrow and throughout the entire month of Ramadan, for the next 29-30 days, we will unpack the entirety of Salah, and hopefully you'll see how important Salah is, and inshallah, you'll be able to transform the quality of your Salah and the quality of your conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question that I need to ask myself, as well as all of those, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are just about to begin on your journey of your salah in your lifetime, is how is your salah? Only you can answer that particular question. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it weak? Is it strong? Is it mediocre? Is it deep? Is it meaningful? That question can only be answered by you. And the reason to why that may be, i.e. the quality of your salah, is also an answer that you have to make up. Is it because you are neglectful? Is it because you are lazy? Is it because you never really gave it any thought? Or you weren't pushed or encouraged by your family or your parents? We can easily point the finger to other people, to those that are around us, but really we need to ask ourselves, because we are in control of our life, the breath that we have, where we go, what we do with our time. So it is up to us to answer how is the kayfiyya, what is the state of our salah, and why is it in that particular state. If your parents were to ask you, why do you dress like this, why do you eat like this, why you behave like this, or your teachers, why are your grades like this, you will always have some answer, some reason, justification. And then you will go about to fixing and correcting that to make sure that you actually achieve what is your potential. So how is your salah? And the salah itself is not just the things that we do on a daily basis in terms of we come, we say Allahu Akbar, we recite our Fatiha, we do a surah, etc. That's not just the entirety of the salah. That's just one portion of the salah that we look at, but we automize generally in our life. Salah begins with, first and foremost, the very intention. That if we don't have the correct intention behind our salah, then the salah itself will become meaningless. Salah also includes wudu. And all of us do wudu, we've been taught how to do wudu, but until our wudu is not meaningful, because the Prophet ﷺ said that the key to Jannah is salah, and the key to salah is wudu. So the wudu itself is an integral part of salah. And if we are not mindful in our wudu, and if we are not doing wudu in the correct manner, and then we will not actually see the fruition and see the beauty of our salah. If the wudu is lacking, then the salah will also be lacking, and consequently everything else will also be lacking as well. So the intention of who you are and why you want to pray and who you are about to pray to is very, very important. Why do you go somewhere? Why do you sit with certain people? Why do you have conversations with X, Y, and Z? There's always a reason behind all of this. So why are you leaving your family and your work and all of these other things? Why are you going to pray your salah? This is all about being mindful, the intention behind every single act that you do. Why are you doing wudu? Why do you do all of these particular things? And then the next aspect of salah is the clothes. We always tend to think, oh, it's fine, I'm covered, it's okay. But the clothes has a huge impact. For those people, when you look at a police officer, when you look at a doctor, when you look at their clothing, they exhibit a certain amount of respect or awe, and you behave in a particular way in front of different people, the way that they are dressed. This is the human nature. And similarly, the way that you present yourself and dress and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also change the way that you have a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are in your shorts, even though if they cover just your knees, and if you are in some, you know, short sleeves as well, even though that's in a way fine, but the quality of your conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very different when you are standing in a completely presentable manner. So all of these things actually matter, and all of these build up. The intention, the wudu, the clothing build up and take you towards a more meaningful salah. And then your body as well. And the body here includes all of the positions of your salah. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very, very clearly in minute detail how each position should be and how your muscles should be relaxed in every single position. It's not just about automating all of these particular actions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have commanded angels to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have built robots and said, just go and worship me. There is a deeper meaning behind every single position. The qiyam, the standing, why we are standing, the takbir, the very first takbir, when we surrender ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we shun the entire world behind us, there's far deeper meaning in every single position. Similarly, in your ruku, when you are bowing down and when you return back up, when you go into your sajda, and even the sequence of your knees and your hands and your forehead and your nose, when it goes onto the ground, all of this has a huge impact on the kayfiyah, the state of your salah. So inshallah, Al-Aziz, we'll discuss the bodily aspects of salah, all of those positions and how we should be doing them in the correct manner. And if you do not do them in the correct manner, it's just like all of the brothers and perhaps sisters who go to the gym. You can go and use all of the equipment, but if you do not use the correct technique, then your muscles will not be toned. You will not actually benefit your body. You'll just be doing all of those things, but actually have no actual output. So all of the positions of salah have to be done in the correct way, in the correct sequence, the correct manner shown and illustrated to us by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then your recitation. The recitation is very important. How good your recitation is. And I'm not just talking about the tajweed. I'm talking about the memorization, what you have prepared in terms of your sana, your opening, what you prepare for your fatiha and your surah. Imagine you meet a person. I meet Haris every single day, and my entire conversation with Haris is exactly the same. Haris, hello, how are you? How's your day? How's your health? Okay, Allah Hafiz. Every single day there will be no development, because we're just repeating the same thing again and again. And if you are doing this in your salah, how are you doing this in our salah? Yes, we recite the sana, which is the same, because we have to do that. This is what is taught by the Prophet ﷺ. We have to recite the Fatiha, because without that there is no salah. Fatiha is the most important part of the salah recitation. But then the next bit, where we do have some control over the conversation, is in our surahs. If every day you're going to recite Ikhlas, then yes, it's sufficient. Your salah will be valid. But how deep is your conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you love somebody, when you're near and dear to somebody, when you want to sit down with them and spend time with them, you will find different topics of discussion all the time. You'll find out what they like, what they dislike, what's current, what's going on, what's impacted you, what's something meaningful to you. And then you will share those things, and you'll have a much more meaningful dialogue and discourse and conversation with that individual. But if you are on repeat, And every single day, what kind of a conversation are you going to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you can't be asked to go and learn another surah? For the entirety of your 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your lifetime, you suffice yourself with the last 5 surahs or the last 10 surahs of the Quran. Is this the quality and the conversation that you want to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imagine you want to go and meet a sheikh or meet somebody of a very important person. Would you just talk to them about the basics of the world around you? Would you talk about something much more meaningful? Would you actually go about and research something and say, look, let me talk about this because I can find an answer. He maybe can give me some wisdom, some hikmah. So when you learn different surahs, when you learn the translation and their meaning, and you find out the context behind all of that, then when you are praying, your entire conversation and your salah, believe it, brothers and sisters, will be completely transformed. So the lacking is in us, not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billahi min zalik, or anything else. So our intentions, our wudu, our clothing, our body, our positions, our recitation, all of that leads towards how deep and meaningful our salah is. It affects our focus. Because if you're on automation, then you're not going to focus in your salah. You're not going to even think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your devotion will be lacking. Your khushu will be lacking. Your humbleness will be lacking. You'll not be in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you meet normal individuals, you meet them, you greet them, and you forget them, that's it. But when you meet somebody of status, of maqam, and you think, wow, you have this haybat, you have this kayfiyah, you have this awe, you have this inspiration, you're standing before somebody great, and you know your body reacts automatically in a particular way. You straighten yourself up, you humble yourself before that individual, you don't speak out of turn, you wait for them to say something and then you respond in a particular manner, and you make sure you think about what you're about to say before you actually say it. All of these things, we do this in day-to-day interactions with human beings. Why? So not to disrespect or dishonor that particular individual or make them feel like this person is lalup and he doesn't know what he's talking about. If we do that with important people, with our teachers, with our shuyukh, with our elders, especially with our parents, we always think twice about saying something to our parents. Why? Because we know what's going to come after. So we are always very, very careful with our conversations with those people that are meaningful to us, those people that are close to us. So why is it that we do not take the same amount of care and due respect and consideration when it is having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is your heart, your kayfiyah? Why are you not in awe and before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So these things affect the heart, they affect the mind, they affect the focus. So all of this can be meaningful, and you have the ability to change, to correct, to strengthen your intention, to perfect and strengthen your wudu, and to make it perfect, because that wudu is the key to your salah, and that salah is the key to your Jannah. You have a control over your clothing, you have a control the way that you present yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can change your body and your positions, and how quickly you get out of ruku, and how quickly you jump into sajda. You can change all of that. You can change your recitation, you can change your conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can change your focus. You know, my sheikh was here, my teacher was here, and when you're there in front of your parents or those people that you love, then you don't even look anywhere else. You just want to focus on them. You don't want to waste that opportunity when you are sitting in their presence. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that the greatest of thief, talking about salah, the greatest of thief is that thief who steals in salah. What does that basically mean? That even though you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even though you cannot envisage Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should know and have this yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and seeing you with what's within you and externally, what you are showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in spite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being there and you in your salah, you are still thinking about something else, or scratching something else, or contemplating something else. You are stealing from your salah, you are stealing from the time of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the worst of thief. So try to imagine all of these things and realize where you are, who you are standing before, and try to make things more meaningful. But you will only be able to make it more meaningful when you actively think about all of these things, about your intention, your wudu, your clothing, your body, your recitation, your focus, and then your devotion. All of these things, when they are in line, aligned, then your salah will become different. So it's not just, you know, Harry Potter's wand, or a quick fix, or a taweez, or just one lesson, and that's it. You say, I've learnt everything now. This is a lifetime struggle. If you look at our five pillars of Islam, you say the Shahada, and that is sufficient for you. Once you've said it, come over in reality, because you've said, you've testified that there is no other worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've said that, that's it. You're okay. You're in the green. You know, you still have, now you have this ability to enter into Jannah. You're not one of those who will be damned. You give your zakah, you do it once a year. You do it, you forget about it for the next year. Some people don't even do it and they forget for many, many years. You do your sawm, it's once a year. Do it, don't do it. And many people, mashallah, do it. But it's still just once a year. Zakat is once a year. Siyam is just once a year. Shahada is once in your lifetime. Hajj is also once in your lifetime. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained salawat for us? Five daily salahs. There has to be a meaning. There has to be a purpose. There has to be an objective. Where, why didn't Allah Ta'ala tell us to repeat the Shahada all the time again and again? To give zakat all the time, to do siyam all the time, to do hajj all the time. But no, salah is the imaduddin, which is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. It is the backbone of the entirety of your religion. And if your salah is sound, i.e. if your back is sound, you know, ask those people who have a slip disc, ask those people who have problems with their back. Without your back, you can't function. You can't be a normal human being. You can't do all of the normal, ordinary things. So your salah is the strongest suit that you have. This is your pillar of your deen. And within the salah, you have all of your five other pillars as well. Because within the salah, you testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In salah, you're also giving zakat of your body. You're taking a portion of your body. You're taking a portion of your time and you're dedicating it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In salah, there is no eating, there is no drinking, there is no chewing. So it is like you are fasting in a state of salah as well. In salah, you are directed towards the qibla, towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your hajj, this is your mi'raj, this is your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah encompasses everything of your pillars. So this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, the very first thing that will be questioned, that will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is about your salah. If your salah is sound, if it is sound, if it is complete, then everything else will be sound and it will be in order. But if there is fasad, if there is corruption or deficiency or lacking in your salah, then equally there will be corruption and lacking with the rest of your pillars as well. So I can't emphasize enough the importance of our salah and how we always tend to overlook it and just think, jaldi karo, khatam karo, fajr paro, zohar paro, carry out the way, I need to do other things. And this is where, obviously, where we are lacking. So the quality of the conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we have in our salah. Do you not desire to be engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To have a meaningful conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then this comes back to that very first question that a person asked me, that how can you taste the sweetness of prayer? You can only taste the sweetness of prayer when all of these things are aligned. Your intention, your wudu, your clothing, your body, your recitation, your focus, your devotion, your heart, all of these things, when they are put together, how it was presented to us by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, only and only then will you be able to taste the lazza of salah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned one hadith that towards the end of time, perhaps we are going towards that closer and closer, towards the end of time, وَلَا يَجِدُ لَزَّةَ طَاعَةً وَلَا الْمُنَاجَاتِ. This is the hadith, this is the actual words of the Prophet والسلام, that people will cease to have any lazza in their salah, cease to have any sweetness or enjoyment or in their actual salah. And similarly, in all of their munajat, in their calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will find no answer, no response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because their heart is not there in salah. Their mind is not there in salah. They're already thinking about where to go. Hajj, Mulvi sahab ne kitni der lai? How long is this salah going to be? I need to get to this place. I need to do this. And if they're reading on their own, then it's automated. Qul wallahu ahad, bang it out, and then let's get out of here. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, and that's it. So people will cease to have any enjoyment, any sweetness, any beauty of their salah. This will happen. And you can stop that happening to yourself on an individual level. Then you can help your children, you can help your spouse, you can help your family members to enjoy that salah that was enjoyed by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So salah, this is just an introduction today. Inshallah, we'll unpack all of these things. But salah comes from silah. And that in Arabic basically means a connection. What are we connecting to? Don't want to connect to the world. Don't want to connect to your desires. Don't want to connect to all of these things, because they will not give you any benefit. They will only distract you from the real connection, from the most meaningful connection, which is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our signals, you know, even fail us here in the dunya. Satellites can fail you, so many things can fail you because of poor signal, of poor quality. But this connection, the salah connection, can pierce through the heavens, through all of the cosmos, through all of the universes, and put you right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the power of that salah, that connection, that sila, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us via the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So do you want to have that connection? Only you can answer that. Or do you want to have a connection just with yourself, or with other people of the dunya, or with the dunya itself? Or do you actually want to have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has all of the treasures of the dunya, who has everything with him, and he just wants you to be in front of him, and he will say to you, here are all of the treasures that you ever desire, that you ever need, here they are. This is where we actually need to go, rather than be running towards the dunya, which we readily do as well. So salah is mentioned over 99 times in the Quran, and this itself should illustrate how important salah is. You know, when your parents are telling you again and again and again, do this. When your teacher reminds you again and again to do this. When imams and scholars again and again remind you, it shows you how important that particular subject, that topic is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't have to repeat it. He is Qadir. He could have easily said just once, establish the prayer and that's it. And that would have been sufficient. We would have no return and no argument and no justification saying, Allah, well, you should have said it twice or three times, so I would have realized how important it was. He has given us 99 repetitions in the Quran in different forms and manners, again and again, to saying, do your salah, do your salah, do your salah, in different ways. The very first few ayat of the Quran, when they begin, they say, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ. There you go. The very first few parameters of your life, the direction that you need to have is have your iman, believe in the unseen. Because we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but believe He exists. And believe that this salah will take you to that place which is beyond our imagination. That salah is that connection, is that means, that direct means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His court, towards that ghayb. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Believers of Him, believers of the unknown and the unseen. How? Through your salah. That salah will take you on this sacred and beautiful journey, this majestic journey. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be from those people who give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah and zakat are very, very too closely linked pillars of Islam, and you will see its connection and why it's so important of establishing the salah and also giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of the verses I will give you very, very quickly today, inshallah, and perhaps we can reflect upon these in our own time. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Subhanallah, that you remember me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you remember me and then I will also remember you. What is the greatest way, the greatest form, the greatest means of connecting and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can all do it. We can all do it arbitrarily. We can all do it, you know, unofficially, by walking around and saying, oh yes, I'm remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it takes true sincerity and devotion and an active effort to say, no, I'm going to leave my wife, leave my children, leave my work, leave all of these things. I'm going to do my wudu. I'm going to wear the best clothes that I have. I'm going to groom myself and present myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to shun the entire world. And now I want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will show how sincere your remembrance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When somebody is talking to you, you expect them to have eye contact with you. You expect them to have their body towards you, because this shows you that they are actually focusing and listening to you. This is what we want. So do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants that sincerity from us, that focus from us, that if you really want to remember me, really want to show that you are my abd, my servant, my slave, then fine. Do all of these things and really truly stand before me in the best of form, in the best form of worship, which is the worship of the salah. That this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to truly connect to Him. Even though we cannot see Him, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see us. He can see us fidgeting in our salah. He can see our heart and how eager it is to get out of the salah. He knows what's going on in our mind. He knows we're probably thinking about this particular episode or that particular episode, or what to do after salah, or just thinking about when will this ayah finish, when will this rak'at finish. All of these things He knows and He sees and He hears. So present the best thing that you have. Give the best thing that you have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Establish the prayer. Allah ta'ala doesn't say just do the prayer on a one-off basis. You know, once in one prayer in five is okay. No, two prayers in five. No, establish the prayer means continuously establish the prayer. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This is what it means to establish the prayer. It means to maintain the prayer. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, to maintain and establish the zakah. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and do ruku with those people who are doing ruku. When you do things on your own, it's a lot more difficult to achieve the same thing. But believe me, when you come to the masjid, when you pray your fara'id, when you pray your tarawih, it's so much easier for you to do. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that ease to you, and time passes by ever so quickly. Why? Because you are in a deeper connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do ruku with those people who do ruku. Wasta'inu bis sabri wa salah, and seek the assistance via sabr and via your salah. If you want to transform yourself, because salah itself has so much benefits. It benefits you, increases you in your sabr, it increases you in your tawakkul, in your reliance, in your closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for those people who have true khushu, true devoutness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will only benefit them. Otherwise, we've been praying all our lives. How patient are we? Even after our years and years of our salah, we are still not very impatient people. Why? Because our hearts are not humbled. We are truly not submitting and devoting ourselves and our soul and our body and our mind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just praying for the sake of praying. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, preserve, protect, nurture the salah. Hafiz is a person who memorizes and protects and preserves it and propagates it. This is what it means, that we have to be guardians and custodians and protectors of our salah. Not just jadu yaad aagi kar liya and par liya. No, constantly on top of it. Just the way our parents are constantly protecting us, nurturing us and saying, look, you need to brush your teeth, you need to do this, you need to do this. They are worried for our well-being, our safety, our future. This is how we need to be worried about our salah, about protecting our salah. Because the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith mentioned that the only true difference between a mu'min and a non-believer, between a believer and a non-believer, the only major distinguishing factor or criterion is his salah. Because your salah distinguishes you truly from other people, especially from those who don't believe. When you pray five times a day, when you constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. To establish the prayer, to stand forth and stand right and steadfast in your prayer, and truly have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa here means to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Because it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will actually return. So that salah and that taqwa constantly reminds us that this is where we are returning. The salah is connecting you and enabling you to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'mineena kitaban mawquta. Salah has been ordained for us on specified and prescribed times. There is no, like, I don't know when it is. Patani kadu maghribu si, kadu fajru si, kadu, all of these things. No, everything has been designated and put out plain. It is with the movement of the day. Look at the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the sun rises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now I want you up. This is the time for you to be up. This is the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the middle of the day, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already is breaking up and compartmentalizing our day for us. This is now the time for you to have a break from the dunya and come back to me again for Asr, again for Maghrib and Isha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has split up the day so beautifully for us. Yet here we are, we think it's a you know, majburi for us to do this. It's a difficult duty for us to uphold, whereas the benefit is there for us in many, many physical, spiritual ways, but we don't see all of those things. وَإِذَا, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about people like us, that when these people do even inevitably and eventually stand up for their salah, then they stand up and they are very, very lazy. The heart's not in it. Their mind's not in it. They're doing it just for the sake of doing it. They're just running through the motions. Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there for the sake of standing there. Make it meaningful. If you're going to travel from Manchester to London, there should be a purpose and meaning behind that. If you're going to do all of these things, make sure it is meaningful. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala wasallam said that, indeed my salah, all forms of acts of ibadah, my worship, was solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't do it for your mother, don't do it for your father, don't do it for any other person, because that salah is just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you do it at home, at your workplace, when you are traveling, wherever you may be, do it because your Lord has asked you to do it. Do it because He wants to get closer to you, and this is the only way that you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many, many reminders in the Quran of various prophets, of how they encourage their children, their progeny, to establish the prayer, maintain the prayer. Obviously, we don't have the time to go through all of the 99 examples of the salah, but those were just some of the examples that I wanted to share with you. So, another example I want to give you is, if you take one particular stone, which is a normal and ordinary stone, and then you take another stone, but that is a diamond, how will you know the difference between those two things? You look at the quality of each stone, you look at the description of that particular stone, and then you'll realize this has so many qualities, this has so many benefits, and then you'll naturally gravitate towards that particular stone, which is the diamond. This is the same thing that we need to understand, that if we can understand our salah more, and understand the beauty of salah, and all of the benefits of the salah, then naturally we will be even more inclined, we'll say, we want this. Somebody says to you, this is a phone, but it's just an ordinary phone. When they tell you it has this feature, and they can transport you and take you from the UK to Pakistan in 2 seconds, you'll say, wait, I want this phone straight away. You look at things for their features, you look at things for their qualities, and then you are inclined towards that thing. Look towards all of the features and the qualities and the beauties of the salah, and you realize how important it is, how necessary it is for you to have this thing which you cannot exist without in your life. The salah, as I mentioned, is the backbone of Islam. Salah is a light. It is a form of nur given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is that conversation that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala mentioned that the believer, when he is in prayer, his prayer indeed is a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, what type of conversation do you have with your Lord? You'll probably have more meaningful conversations with your employees, or with your children, or with your neighbors, and actually make an active effort to make it meaningful. How meaningful is your conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salah is that gift given to us by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, taken from Sidratul Muntaha, from the farthest of places, from the Baragah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Isra and Mi'raj. Realize its quality, realize its rarity, realize its beauty, realize all of these beautiful things that are there in our salah that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the key to Jannah. If you want to access Jannah, you can't access it except through the key of salah. The key to paradise is salah, and as I mentioned, and the key to salah itself is wudu. So your attitude to your salah, how you approach your salah, what you think of salah, how you perceive your salah, is actually a direct reflection of your attitude and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we really need to reflect upon really, really hard. What is your attitude to salah? Because that is your attitude actually to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is actually ease, it is bliss, it is raha, it is sukoon, because it gives you the fragrance from Jannah. Salah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would always say to Sayyidina Bilal, arihna biha ya Bilal, stand up, do the azan, do the ikama, so that we can find sukoon. There is no true sukoon in the dunya, in all of our PlayStations and games and the internet and the world and the pleasures of the dunya. True sukoon, if you truly pray your salah in the correct way, you'll find true sukoon and bliss and tranquility and peace in your salah. When you forget the world, when you're standing there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go into sajda and you can cry your heart out and you can stay there as long as you want and you can share whatever you want with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is true bliss, that is true comfort, that is true tranquility when you're in the bargah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the reward that you receive, 27 times more reward when you're praying in jama'ah, 1,000 times more in Masjid al-Nabawi, 100,000 times more in Makkatul Mukarramah, and 700 times more in the month of Ramadan, and even much more, depending on your kayfiyah, your state, your attitude, your meaningfulness, how your heart and your connection is, how your body is, your intention is, your wudu is, your clothing is, your recitation. It all depends on you, not on anybody else. All depends on you. So if you want to have a quality relationship, a quality meaningful conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can achieve that. You can achieve so much more, because that salah is your mi'raj, is your direct key and access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, to gain the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect yourself from the shaitan, to protect yourself from all of mankind and jinn, and from evil. It will protect you, it will transform you, it will guide you. This is what salah can achieve. And also, it will foster relationships and build better communities and societies when you stand shoulder to shoulder in the correct way, when you stand in a straight line, a line all focusing and praying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the beauty of salah. These are some of the descriptions of the salah. So if we delve into all of these things, it will only make you fall in love with salah, rather than think, yara, I have to pray and it's really hard for me to do fajr, it's really hard for me to do asr or maghrib or isha or zuhr. No, look at all of these qualities, look at the beauty of all of this, and how can you not automatically run towards salah? How can you not want to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to be closer with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, soar higher than the angels and be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other being? This is what you can achieve via your salah. Remember even Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbi ja'alni muqeem as-salati wa min zurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Oh Allah, enable me to establish the salah, and not just me, but also my progeny, also my children. And this is a deep desire that we should have for our children. But we will only have this desire for our children when we ourselves actually enjoy salah. When you don't enjoy something, you're not going to encourage your children and show them the beauty of salah, or have this smile on your face and say, my son, my daughter, you have to do this, this is the beauty of salah. You won't, because you yourself don't enjoy it. But Ibrahim alayhi salam did, and this is why he said, oh Allah, enable me to establish the salah and also my children. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a, Allah, accept my prayer. Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, wa awhayna ilayhim fi'l al-khayrati wa iqam as-salati wa ita az-zakah. And they also established their prayer and remained connected and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, waj'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimu as-salata wa bashshir al-mu'minin. Again, Establish the prayer. Give glad tidings to the believers, because your salah is your direct means and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salam, wa awsani bis salati wa zakati ma dumtu hayya. I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have been made as a prophet and messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is my nasiha to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my legacy for you to establish the salah, for you to give your zakah. Salah again and again and again. We cannot overlook its importance and its necessity in our lifetime. Don't make it a mundane thing. Don't just make it a robotic thing. Look at all of these things and ask yourself, why did the Messenger والسلام, love praying all the time, his sunnahs and his nawafil? Why? Why did he do that? Why did the Sahaba Ikram go through so many difficulties to establish the salah? Again, the Messenger والسلام, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرًا لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Again, the Prophet ﷺ, morning, night, day, establishing the salah, maintaining the salah. And one of the very few last words on the tongue of the Messenger ﷺ was to protect the women, to safeguard the women, and also to establish the salah. As-salah. Again, how much more important can it be that he emphasizes on his very last few breaths for us to maintain the salah, to establish the salah? These are very, very important things that we need to reflect upon. And this is why the Messenger ﷺ said, if you knew what was there in the first saf in a masjid, you would draw lots. You would draw lots to be in the first row. If you knew the barakah that was there at Fajr time or in the first saf, you would crawl on your bellies just to reach the masjid and for you to establish the prayer and maintain the prayer. If only you knew what is there in salah. He could see with his eye. He could see with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed those hijab, those veils in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those veils can be removed for us as well if we truly dedicate ourselves in our salah and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember all of these things that we've discussed here today as a short introduction to the beauty, to the majesty and the importance of salah, why it is the backbone of our deen and how important it is for us to establish and to maintain, but do so in the correct manner. And if we want to taste the sweetness of our prayer, we have to begin from our intentions. We have to correct our wudu, we have to correct our attire, our libas, our mind, our body, our recitation. When all of these things are put together, then insha'Allahul Aziz, we will have that true khushu, that true humbleness, that true connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah. So insha'Allahul Aziz, tomorrow we will go into a bit more of how to make salah more meaningful. But the last hadith that I want to leave you with is the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that man ahabba liqa Allah ahabba liqa'ah, that whosoever loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him. And if you find yourself hesitant, if you find yourself reluctant to come to the masjid or to pray your salah, then ask yourself, why are you hesitating to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you hesitate to meet Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also hesitant to meet you. But if you love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you love to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find that comfort and love and warmth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that He also loves you and He's awaiting you on the musalla. So think about all of these things next time you pray. Think with your heart, not just with your mind and your body. And inshallah, you will see a difference in your salah, inshallah. Al-Aziz wa kulli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khaira. Thank you so much for attending today, inshallah. Hopefully meet you again tomorrow.